All right. Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We have been. This is our third message on a series we're doing, sharing Jesus without fear. Sharing Jesus without fear. Matthew chapter 28. Let's go to towards the end of the chapter. This is the commission that the Lord Jesus gave us, His children, before He would ascend into heaven. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want us to go ahead and read the through 18 through 20, and then I want to emphasize one part of this commission. It says here in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That means all authority. He has been giving that right that He's going to impart to us in fulfilling the Great Commission. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I want us to focus on that phrase just for a minute before we dive into the message tonight. Is that phrase that Jesus says here, "Lo," in the second part of verse 20, that word "lo" does not necessarily have anything to do with altitude or the lack thereof, but it has something to do with, "Hey, I want your attention. Behold, look. I want you to know that I have given you a command that I am going to be with you as you fulfill that command." And He says, "I am with you all way." And if there's a reason for us not to be afraid when it comes to witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be the very fact that Jesus is with us. He's with us. I mean, you think about that. Think about the message that Brother Stedman preached the other day, just about the deity of Christ. He's the Creator. He made us. He made this world. And the very fact that He is with us as we walk this earth, but especially He's with us, I believe, in a special sense as we fulfill the Great Commission and speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight I want to share some practical ways of becoming a better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank You for this evening, Wednesday night Bible study. I pray that, Lord, it will be refreshing tonight. I pray that it would be encouraging. Lord, we do want to be brighter lights. And we need Your help. And we need You to use our church, Lord, to be a light to this community. And I pray even tonight that we would be strengthened in that way by Your Spirit. And I trust that You will help us now. And I believe You will. For it's in Jesus' precious name I do pray. Amen. You know, the Lord wants us to be dependent on Him. And when it comes to witnessing, that is an awesome opportunity to do just that. But the reality is we are faced with fear, and that is facing people, talking to people, and we get real shaky. That's the truth. Like this one guy I thought was pretty interesting and quite comical, a matter of fact, when it came to facing a fear that he wasn't used to. A passenger in a taxi leaned over to ask the driver a question and just gently tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. The driver screamed, "Ah!" He lost control of the vehicle. He ran up onto the curve and knocked down a sign and came this close to hitting a huge storefront window. It was bad. Scared him to death, and there was a few minutes where everything was silent in this cab. Then the shaking driver said, "Are you okay?" speaking to the passenger. "I'm sorry, but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." And the driver replied, "No, no, I'm the one who is sorry. It's entirely my fault. Today is my very first day driving a cab, and I've been driving a hearse for 25 years. So you could see why this gentleman got scared. And, you know, there are times where, quite honestly, when we do things in life, we become filled with fear. And a lot of times, maybe it's because we're not used to doing it. And those of you that have, by the grace of God, have tried to make it a habit to share Christ when you have opportunity, will, I believe, admit that as you start doing it, it's not that it's easy every time, but I would say there's an element of that it does become easier. As you realize the very fact that as you make it a habit, that the fear does lessen a bit, and I believe God intends us to get into a habit of that depending upon Him. Because what is the habit that you're forming? Not that you're mustering up enough strength, but no, you're getting into the habit of being God dependent. You're becoming in the habit of depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, who says He is with you. And so let's look here at our first blank here. Here are some practical ways I believe that we can become a better witness for Christ. Number one, look at avoid. This next word is isolation. Avoid isolation. And you write that in there. Isolation, I-S-O-L-A-T-I-O-N, I think I spelled that right. Isolation, what do I mean by that? Well, what does Jesus say about how we should be as His children? Well, you see the verse there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." And He makes it clear here, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And you know, let's be honest here tonight, church. There are times where we can't help but isolating ourselves. It might just be the nature of our schedule. It might be the nature of our workplace. That's all going to vary in here. We're not trying to make a cookie cutter out of anybody here tonight. But one of the things that I do believe we need to constantly be working towards is not living a life of continual isolation from a lost and dying world. And Jesus, I believe, is what He's saying here. And then He says in John chapter 17 there in your handout as well, the prayer to the Father was this, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world." Did you get that? Jesus was praying that the Father wouldn't take them out, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You see that as well. Lord, leave them in the world, but protect them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And we know Jesus came into the world, and we do know that He did not act like the world, but boy, He sure loved the people of the world. He made friends with them. We know that because it's documented clearly in the Word of God. Look there in the next passage. You can write the passage there in your handout. Letter C is Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. You can write that in your blank. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, oh yes, that crowd took note, they said unto His disciples, "Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners?" Do you see what Jesus did here? Jesus was making it a point not to isolate Himself. And we have to make sure that in our lives, and I know because our schedules are different, but we do make it a point each week in some way, if all possible, somehow connect with some people in the world to shine the light of Christ. That's so important. Now, some of us, it's a lot easier than others. And I just wanted to tell you again, I understand that element. Some of us wish that we were maybe not working in the world as much as we were surrounded by it. You leave the workplace that day and you're drained spiritually because all the things you're hearing and being exposed to. Our kids deal with that as well in certain environments, and I get that element. But the truth of the matter is that is an opportunity for you to be the light that Jesus Christ wants you to be and wants me to be. Look at letter D there. There are Christians who, number one, talk about the lost. That's the first blank. Who talk about the lost. And then, two, there are Christians who talk to the lost. And we don't want to be Christians who just talk about the lost. We meet in church, we recognize the fact the Bible speaks that there are many unbelievers in the world, they're lost, they need Christ, and we talk about it. But what we need to try to transition that into to talk about it, but then let it turn into talking to the lost. I'm so thankful for our new children's program, the Master Clubs. I didn't realize this until Mary Ann brought a couple tracks home the other day, and I realized that it was part of the curriculum for her class to get signed off. They memorized verses, but was for if she had an opportunity along with her parents to hand someone at the store or someone out there that they meet at the park or whatever to give them a gospel track or an invitation to church. I thought that was wonderful. And what is that teaching our young at a young age? That we should be mindful that there are people all around us that we need to make an effort to connect with. And it's so important. In letter E, there is a difference between isolation and insulation. Now, we do need to be insulated. That's what I believe what Jesus was referring to when he prayed to the Father. He said, Father, please leave them in the world, but Father, deliver them from evil. Protect the children as they're out in the world and as out there being a light to the world. And that is something that we will strive to do by the grace of God. Let me read this. This was actually quoted. This is a quote from the book, Share Jesus Without Fear, which I thought was appropriate for tonight. He says this, God calls us to go into His harvest. If you are living in isolation from the world, and the only friends or contacts you have are in your comfortable Bible study, Wednesday night church get-togethers, Sunday school, Christian picnics, retreats, homeschool events, and concerts, you will never experience the joy of sharing your faith. Your life will become dry because you are ignoring the call to work in His fields. You will lose a sense of vitality that comes from obedience to the Great Commission. I have found that to be true in my own life. Haven't you? If you go through periods where you just are not sharing your faith or talking to the lost at all, boy, but the opposite is true. When I'm walking by faith, and I don't always do that, but when I do, and I do connect with people and I share my faith, I leave that conversation feeling encouraged. Like, wow, praise God. By God's grace, I was allowed to share a testimony or an invitation with that person. And that's exactly what Jesus is desiring for His children to do. And so let me see number two here. As we are seeking to not isolate ourselves, but make it a point to make connections where God opens those doors. Number two, a practical way, of course, is making prayer a priority. That's your blank for number two. Making prayer a priority. We need to understand that we need the Lord. And we should never try to go out and witness to people and talk to people that we haven't first prayed for that day and for the Lord to help us to reach them where they are. And that's one of the things that I do include. You know, we just went through the Lord's Prayer together just in our last series. That's one of the things that you can pray for when you get to that section, which, by the way, I haven't before that series. I did not make it a point to pray that prayer every day, but I do now. I don't necessarily pray it verbatim, but I go through each one of those characteristics that Jesus gave, and I have seen some real answers to prayer from that. That's just a side note. Try to make that your model each day. You don't have to, again, you don't have to recite it. You can if you want to, but you don't have to, but the idea is the model. But one of the areas that I pray, that word, thy kingdom come, the idea of God ruling us. He will rule completely one day on this earth. But until then, I'm asking God to rule my heart and to rule the hearts of our community. What's wrong with the hearts of our community, people that are without Christ? They're being ruled by the forces of darkness, of Satan. And they need to be ruled by Christ. So I pray, Lord, would you lead me to people that need to be ruled by you? And then the next one, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe we would all agree here tonight that it is God's will for every single person to be saved. You young people in college right now, at the university or the tech school, wherever you might be, public school, even Christian school. You know, some people think just because you go to a Christian school, they're all Christians. No, I don't think so. I wish that were the case, but it's not. But the fact of the matter is, it is God's will for every single person on this earth to know Jesus Christ. And so upon that promise, I say, Lord, it is your will for people to come to know you. Would you help me to find them today? Would you bring me in contact with them today as a part of, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And so we see that prayer is a priority. Let me mention this to you. As you pray about these things, I want to give you a couple practical things. Letter A is have a prayer journal listing the names of the people God has led you to. I want to share this with you, just a couple things here. Again, that's at letter A. You can fill in the blank there. It's have a prayer journal. Some of you may already have one, and if you do, that's great. If you do not, I encourage you to get one. This is mine. You don't have to do it like this. This is just an example. Everyone's going to have something that works for them. But I will say this, and this is my opinion. I'll admit that. But it is my opinion that your prayer life will be much stronger with a prayer list. Okay? That's my opinion. And when I say stronger, I mean that it's more specific and more purposeful. And let me give you an example. What I did one day, and I need to update it honestly. What I did one day is I went through and I wrote salvation. I think I did this back in 2011. But salvation, and I went through and wrote down every name that the Holy Spirit brought to mind that I believed were probably lost. And I wrote down their names from people from childhood neighborhoods that I used to play with to high school friends, to my Coast Guard buddies, and then to my workplace friends. And I wrote down their names. And you notice some red and green here. Some of them had to write that they died. Not sure if they ever got saved. I got here in green that got saved. My cousin, Sonny, I've shared that story with you. And so on. And then I have names over here from Niger. And what that allows you to do, it allows you to pray on purpose and watch God work in their lives. Have a little journal of some sort. It helps tremendously to be able to pray for that. And by the way, just a side note, that's just for instance of praying for unbelievers. But listen, make a list that you pray for friends. You write down all the friends that God has given you, members of the church, your missionaries. You can write down. I have all of you here in my prayer journal. I have your names, your family names, and different things that I pray through, because I can get my little prayer journal here, and wherever I go, I can have that with me and try to reference it. Do I use it every day? I wish I say that I did. I try to use it every day. But it does help to have a prayer journal and listing the names. And here's some examples of lists that you can make. An employer or some of your coworkers, the employees. List the name of neighbors. Do you know your neighbors' names? You know, if you find out, write them down. Begin praying for them. Coworkers, like I said, family members. I have a list of family members here that I'm continually praying for. And I'm seeing God answer prayer, I'm telling you. And you will too, and you are too, I'm sure. Writing down community events that are coming up or that we do in our church that helps reach out to lost people, like our fall festival and our VBS and things of that nature. Then visitation, people you meet on visitation. And then daily errands and activities, shopping, sporting events. You know, that's one thing I appreciate about some of our families in our church that do have their children involved in sporting events. in our church, because one of the things that that does do is that allows them some avenues to reach people in the community that don't know Christ. And it allows you to build some bridges there and to share your faith and just being conscious of that. Now, I think that's there's a balance there, of course, too. But the idea is even wherever you are in your life with your family, your children and whatnot, write down the people that God puts you in contact with. Now, this is something I'm looking at ordering in the near future. And what I'll do is I'll put a sign-up list for it. But it's a real practical. It's called the Prayer and Prospect Book. And what it is, each page has got a prospect. In other words, and someone you've met who doesn't know Christ. You write the date. You write their contact information. And what I think is the neatest about it is that it has a follow-up record. Phone, email, text, or visit. And you get to put the date and a little mark to be able to follow up with them. And again, what does that show? It shows a priority in our lives. It truly, truly does. I heard a quote just recently, church, and it really challenged me, and I think it will to you as well. He said, "What is the one thing that you will be taking to heaven with you?" And I thought about it for a second, but the response was this: others. Others. That is the only thing that we will take to heaven with us. Others. And he said, if that is what you believe, then what priority is it in our life on a daily task, a daily purpose, to bring others with us with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ? I thought that was very appropriate, very challenging, honestly. And I think we'd all admit that. But then number three, here as we come to a close, I believe it's so important. Practical ways of witnessing is to stay connected. All right? To stay connected. And goes back, got a little ahead of myself, but it just goes to this little book, and that's letter A. Have a follow-up method. Have a follow-up method. And you see here, you have text, you have social media. One of the things I have found to be effective is I have friends from high school that I know are still, that I believe that are without Christ, and I've sent them a message before, and I've gotten a good response pretty much every time. It may be that coworker that you have, you can use an avenue of Instagram, whatever it may be, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever it may be. Those are tools to be used for the Lord, if that's what you have. And stay connected to people in the sense for the gospel's sake. You have visit, you have email, you have phone calls, you have a card in the mail. You know, some people say, well, that's old fashioned, but I tell you what. It's just something encouraging about getting something in the mail that's not a bill. Amen? You know, you just be able to go and get that card out and be able to, maybe it might be an encouraging word from a church member or from a family member, but it's just neat. And, you know, that's something you could think about. A lot of you perhaps use that avenue to lost family members during Christmas. You insert a letter or a card with the gospel in there. That's wonderful. Don't let up on that. That's using the avenues that God has given you to be an effective witness. I'll share a little story here with you. We were just on a little mini vacation and in Hilton Head, and there just for a few days with the family. And appreciate those that asked about it or just were praying about it for our getaway. That was a real blessing, and thank God for it. But one of the things that shocked me on the way home, stopped at Chick-fil-A. You know, you're on vacation. Amen. Chick-fil-A is the place to go. And so it's just right outside the island, leaving out. It's one of the first restaurants, there on the highway 278, I believe it is. And went in there and was enjoying the nice meal with my family. We sat down and, we're just having a good time. I'm watching, Caroline get ranch all over her face, and she's just having a ball, and good old just Chick-fil-A life, okay? I look to my right, and standing in line, I couldn't believe it. I even told my mom. My mom was with us. I said, "Mom, I said, look over there in that line. Who do you think that is?" She looks over, and she said, "That looks like," and then said the man's name and his wife. I said, that's exactly who it is. And as soon as she said that, they made eye contact with us. And then, of course, we smiled and greeted, and we ended up getting to talk to him for a while. But it was a lifelong friend of the family. And then what makes it unique about it is the husband I have been praying for and thinking about. And I have actually witnessed to him a couple times when it was a providential leading of the Lord. I met him at Lowe's one time, and I gave him a tract, shared my testimony with him, and witnessed to him. Didn't get any response there. But this, out of all places, here's this man and his wife. And here they are out of nowhere. We're from the town we're from is 3.5 to 4 hours away. It just happened to be on a Monday. Okay. At lunchtime. Here they are. What are the chances? I want to tell you, it was not by chance. It was a divine appointment. And I want to encourage you, church, you pray for divine appointments. Pray that if you're not the one, that someone is. I can't help but share this again because it blesses my heart. But my cousin Sonny, I prayed for many years. She was more of an agnostic. She believes maybe there was a higher power, but she just couldn't know him. Well, one day she got under conviction in a doctor's office, and this I'd been praying for years. And she was really agnostic in many ways. And this doctor sitting across her, and one of the things she said, truly smart people or intelligent people like doctors truly can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was her thoughts, but we know better than that, you know. And this is God. This is a God thing, okay? She goes into that office that day. God had been dealing with her, been praying for about 10 years. She goes in this doctor's office, and out of the blue, this doctor, this medical doctor, stands in front of her and says, "Now, I usually don't do this. I make it a practice to keep my personal life to myself. But I just feel really impressed today to share something with you." And of course, my cousin's like, "Sure, yeah, she wants some help. She's been dealing with stress. That was one of her major things. Please help me." She said, "When I was a medical student, I had a lot of responsibilities, a lot of stress. And one of the things that helped me the most was that I was able to read my Bible. And because I read my Bible, it was through that testimony of reading my Bible that I came to know Christ." And she says, "I'm a Christian. I don't share that normally, but I just had to share." My cousin contacted me later. She said, "Brinson, you will not believe what happened to me today." My point is, church, prayer makes a difference. Pray for those people you know. Be ready to talk to those, because you might be the answer to someone else's prayer. I'll just go ahead and get real personal with you here again. I mean, I think the Lord's in this. For instance, Brother Greg up the road here. He was in a very difficult time in his life. He didn't know Christ. He was in a very deep valley. I didn't even know this. Christian Heisen, I didn't even know this. But his mother was praying fervently for him up there, that God would send someone to help him, because she knew the dire situation that was there. And when we showed up that day and God just led, and it was the Lord's leading, he gets all the glory. But Greg came to know Christ that day, and his life has changed tremendously. And his mom came down several months later, and when I got into there, she gave me a big hug and she said, "Pastor, you do not know the answer to prayer that you are." Now, I'm not taking any glory for that. Christian is not either. But I immediately said, "Ma'am, that is only the power of prayer. That's God recognizing your burden and your cry on the behalf of someone that you love and someone that you have not given up on." Let's pray. Father, help us as a church to make witnessing a priority. Lord, help us not to be filled with fear, knowing that you are with us always. Help us, Lord, to carry gospel tracts. Help us to write emails and text, and help us to be faithful when we're on social media, to be thinking about how we might be able to use that as a tool to share Christ, to encourage perhaps another believer. Lord, we need you to help us in this. It's most definitely not natural, Father. But God, we know when you move into our hearts and you are in control and you are ruling us, we know that it will come supernaturally. So, Father, we commit it to you. I pray you'd encourage hearts tonight. I pray that decisions will be made to be more faithful witnesses for your glory. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.